We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're in the first chapter. We're up to the sixth Mishnah. And the Mishnah tells us Yoshua ben Prachya, Yoshua the son of Prachya, and Nitai Arbeli, Nitai from the city of Arbel, Kiblu Mehem, they got their tradition from Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. Yoshua ben Prachya Omer, Yoshua ben Prachya used to say, Asei Lecha Rav, make for yourself a rabbi. So the question is, what do you mean make for yourself? Either he's a rabbi or he's not a rabbi. What does it mean make for yourself? So the Rambam will explain that. Uknei lecha chaver. The word knei ordinarily means acquire. It could mean create. But either way, what does it mean? Acquire for yourself a friend. Veheveidan et kol ha'adam, and judge all men lechav zchut, to the spoon of merit. Meaning if you have a scale and it has two spoons or two, what do you call it on the two sides of the scale? Two cups, okay? Way down on the side of merit. We're on the first chapter of the sixth Mishnah. So the Rambam explains, make for yourself a Rav, even if he's not fitting to be for you a Rav. V'afilu lo haya ro'i liot lecha Rav, aseh oto lecha Rav. Make him as your rabbi. Kedei shetisa v'titen imo. So that you can talk to him and learn him. V'itkayem talmudcha v'yadecha, and your learning will be sustained in your hand. Lefi sheino dome limud ha'adam le'atzmo kelimudo mezulato. For one's learning, when he learns on his own, is incomparable to one's learning from someone else. Kelimudo mezulato, for when you learn from someone else, mitkayem biyado, then your learning is maintained in your hand, umitbarer yoter, and it is clear. Ve'afilu haya kamo b'chokhma o pachot mimenu. And even if this person you feel like he's equal to you, or he's less than you, nonetheless, make him into your Rebbe. A person should always try to find Rebbe. If you can find someone who's much bigger than you and you can learn from him, good. But the Rambam's telling us, if you didn't get that, then make someone your Rebbe. And the Rambam is saying that the concept of making is that even if you feel like, hey, he's not bigger than me, and what you gain from is that your learning is stronger, is better in your hands. When Rav Halberstam Zatzal passed away, so it was difficult. You know, one loses one's Rebbe, so who are you going to find? I couldn't find someone who's on his level. But I knew I have to find someone who I could ask my questions to. So I found someone, and Rav Halberstam, whenever I'd ask him a question, so he'd answer me, he'd fire back. Sometimes he'd kick me out of the room. Sometimes he'd say, "You're being foolish, get out of here." And I'd say, "What do you mean? But what's the source?" And he'd say, "Don't be foolish, goodbye." But when you have someone who's so old and so experienced and so big, so when he tells you that, you say, "Okay, eventually I hope I'll understand." But the Rebbe I found now, who I ask my questions to, he's not on that level. He isn't. I haven't found someone in Israel who's on that level who I could learn by. But nonetheless, it's important. Going with this Rambam, I said, he's still my Rebbe. I call him and ask my questions. So sometimes I'll argue with him, and sometimes he'll say, wait, I'll call you back. I want to think it over. I want to check it out. Sometimes it's not Rav Halberstam. Rav Halberstam would never do that. On the spot, he'd answer me. Boom. And okay. But the Rambam says, that's what this Mishnah teaches us. Make for yourself a Rebbe. If you can't find someone the way you like, nonetheless, you should always make a Rebbe. A person should always have a Rebbe, and if he can't find a person who's greater than him, the Rambam says, take someone, even if you feel like he's less than you, make him your Rebbe. Obviously, don't take someone who's down here and you're up here. That's not going to work.
It means you could technically call everybody who has more knowledge than we do our Rebbe, even though that he is not really like an officially ordained Rebbe.
So I think there's a certain minimum the Rambam's referring to, but the Rambam's saying that one should always have a Rebbe. If you ask a question and he does the work and he comes back and gives you an answer, so you're going to retain the knowledge better. There's more to be said on this concept, but I'm trying to be very careful in our learning to stick to what the Rambam's saying. We're going to go through Pirkei Avos Be'ezrat Hashem many more times, and we'll see other explanations, but I want to be very careful not to say my opinion. I want to say what the Rambam's saying. If we give examples, it's only to elucidate what the Rambam's saying.
And it would be definitely interested in your opinion.
So that we have to have a different class, because guys keep asking me that, and that maybe we'll have a different class, a more open class on Pirkei Avos. V'amrun, our sages said, uknei lecha chaver. acquire for yourself a friend. Amru bilishon kniya. Our sages, with regard to a friend, used the term of acquiring. And they didn't use the term they used about a rabbi. They didn't say make a friend like they said about a rabbi. They didn't say get attached to friends. Or a similar term. Hakavana, what our sages meant, that it's fitting for a person to take for himself a friend al kol panim. In any circumstance, bottom line, you gotta have a friend. Kedei sheyutvu bekach kol inyanav, so that everything a person does will be better. Kmo she'amar, as the great sage said, I chavruta imetuta, either a friend or death. When Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa fell asleep, Choni ha'me'agel. You know the famous story about Choni? Choni said, how could it be that 70 years passed like a dream? So it says that the 70 years will look like a dream. He said, how could a person sleep for 70 years? So God made it that he fell asleep under a tree. The tree covered him. And when he awoke, 70 years had passed. And then he went to the Beis Medrash. They asked questions and he knew all the answers. He was a great rabbi. He was from a few generations ago. As he's talking in Beis Medrash, he keeps showing them he knows the stuff. And they ask him, they say, you know, things were never this clear in Beis Medrash since Choni HaMa'agel was around. So he says, I'm Choni. So they say, nah, what do you mean? Choni disappeared 70 years ago. No, we've lost sight of him for 70 years. You're Choni? No way. They didn't buy it. He tried. He saw he couldn't connect with the people. He turned to Hashem and he said, let me pass away. Either I have a friend, either I have someone who I can connect with, or let me die. Living like this is not worth living. So this became a concept that if you can't have a friend, then life is not worth living. The Rambam says that's why the Mishnah tells us acquire a friend, because a person should know that whatever the circumstance, he must have a friend.
But hold on, if you acquire a friend, then he's not really a friend.
Wait. The Rambam will explain. And if you don't find them easily, he has to work hard at it. And even if he, so to speak, has to acquire him, he has to acquire his friendship initially, till he becomes a real friend, he should do it. And a person shouldn't cease from matching himself to his friend, so the friendship is strengthened. Kmo shomrim anshei musar, as the people who teach us behavior say, im hitchaberta al titchaber lefi darkecha ele hitchaber lefi darko. If you want to connect to someone, don't connect on your terms, connect on his terms, on the terms shechavecha, your friend. Now this is a very important point. The classical example of this is marriage. People get married, so okay, I could give a little, you give a little, but you figure if we match, then we should match. Things should be hunky dory. We just got married. Shouldn't life be great? And Chazal tell us no. In order for things to work, you got to be willing to match yourself to the other one. You match yourself and match yourself as much as you can, and then ultimately, what happens is we become one. And the same thing is true with friendship, the Rambam is saying. The nicest thing is if you find a friend that you see eye to eye and everything goes smoothly. But if you're in a situation where you can't find that, sometimes a guy comes from Germany to Poland. The Polish are slathering over their food, they're not on time, and he's a yekka, and it's driving him up the wall. So now go find a friend. I don't see eye to eye with any of these people. I have to be here for whatever reason, but I'm not going to find a friend so easily. Very often a person can find himself out of place and he's going to have a hard time finding someone who he sees eye to eye with. The Rambam says, whatever the circumstance, a person can't go through life without a friend. In every circumstance, a person has to find someone who's going to be his friend. So sometimes that means you have to give of yourself. If you can't do it any other way, says the Rambam, then it's worthwhile. That's why Chazal said, acquire a friend. It's so important that even if you have to change from who you are, you have to match yourself to him. Do it. And over time, the friendship will form and will solidify. And if all the friends work with this ordinance in mind, then each one wants to do what the other one wants. And then undoubtedly, everyone's going to reach the same goal. וכמה נעים אמר אריסטו, and how nice is Aristotle saying, הידיד האחר הוא אתה. You want to know who the other friend is? Your best friend is yourself. Meaning, you define who will be your friend. Aristotle was saying, you want to be a good friend? If you'll be a good friend to the other person, you're your own best friend. If you will be good to the other people, then you will form friends. You define who are your friends by the way you treat other people. And now the Rambam goes into a description of what kind of chaverim, and in chaverim the Rambam really means what kind of connections people form in this world. There are three types of connections, says the Rambam. V'chaverim shlosha sugim. Chaver le'toilet. Sometimes people connect because it's useful. V'chaver hana'a. And sometimes people connect because they derive pleasure from it. V'chaver le'davar na'ala. And sometimes people connect for a more elevated person. V'chaver le'toilet. A connection for because it's useful. U'kigon chavut shnei shutafim. That's like partners that connect. V'kechavut ha'melech v'tzvo, or like the king and his army. So they're connected, but that's because there's a purpose. It's useful. Aval chaver hana'a hu shnei sugim. When it comes to a connection of pleasure, there are two types. Chaver tanuk, a connection of physical pleasure. V'chaver bitachon, and a connection of security. Chaver tanuk, a connection of physical pleasure. U'kechavut ha'scharim nankevot b'nisuin. V'chayitze b'ze. That's like the males that marry females and things like that. The connection, he says, on its base level is for pleasure. The chaver bitachon and connection of security, who sheyeh la'adam chaver shtato somecht alav sheino nishma mimenu lo maasev lo dibur. That's when a person can find a friend that he relies on him and he doesn't have to watch what he says and he doesn't have to watch what he does. Umgale lo kol inyanav hatov min ve'ara, and he could reveal to him everything that's going on in his life, the good, the bad. Bli shiachush mimenu, in a connection where he doesn't have to worry, sheyivuel bekach bizayon, that he'll end up being ashamed from it ultimately. Lo etzlo v'lo tzezudato, not that he will shame him, nor that others will. Harei kasher yeh lanefesh bitachon beize adam ad kedei kach, when a person finds in his nefesh such trust in someone else, yeh lanachat rav meod besichato v'ididuto, then he has tremendous nachas, a sense of well-being when he speaks to him and has this friendship. And I think that when we think about marriage, then all of these should apply. It's useful monetarily. It's for sure useful to be married. You can't accomplish as much single as married. You definitely, when people get married, they're human. There's an aspect of pleasure. There's an aspect of security. And that's this third form, the second of the second. Meaning, the Rambam broke the second into two parts. But the Rambam is describing, that's a friendship that I wish on everyone that a person should experience. That you feel like you can really connect with the person and reveal to them exactly what's going on by you. Most of us have difficulty finding someone we could do this with, even with our spouse. Most people, even with their spouses, have a hard time telling them everything. When they mess up on something, they don't want to say it at home. They don't want to say when their investment went bad, when their day went bad. Let's not discuss it. We should try to overcome it. Part of it is we have to be open to such a friendship. If it doesn't come naturally, then we have to build it. V'chaver le'davar na'ala, and the third type of friendship, says the Rambam, the third type of connection, hu shetiye k'miat shneihim u'matratam l'inyan echad. That's when they both yearn, both of them have the same purpose, v'hu asiyat ha'tov, and that's doing good. V'yirtze kol echad mehem na'azor b'chaverho, and each one wants to assist his friend, כדי להשיג אותו, הטוב לשניהם יחד, to attain the good for both of them. וזהו החבר שציווה בקניאתו. And about this third, more elevated form of friendship, that the Tana commanded us to acquire. והוא כגון חברות הרב לתלמיד, and that's like the connection of a rav and the student, and the student and the rav. Where they're both aspiring for a greater good, they're both working on attaining that greater good, and each one wants it for both of them. That, says the Rambam, that's the greatest form of friendship. So that's the greatest connection. The Rambam says that a person should try to acquire at all costs. Ve'vedant kol adam lekav zchut. So the Rambam said that form of friendship one should try to acquire, even though it means he has to match himself to the other one. Ve'vedant kol adam lekav zchut. Judge every person favorably. In Yano, what this means is, and we have to take note exactly what the Rambam is saying. שימיה אדם בלתי ידוע אצלך. If you have a person that you don't know him, שאינך יודע אם הוא צדיק או רשע, you don't know if he's righteous or wicked. וראית שעשה מעשה, and you see he did something, או שאמר דבר, or he said something, אם תפרשו באופן מסוים, if you understand, if you explain what he did or said in one way, הרי הוא טוב, then what he did or said was good. ואם תפרשו באופן אחר, and if you explain it differently, הוא רע, then it's bad. So then says the Rambam, דון אותו לטוב, ואל תחשוב בו רע. Judge him for the good, and don't think bad. אבל אם היה אדם, so the Rambam says, our Mishnah is talking about a situation where you have someone that you don't know. You don't know if he's good, you don't know if he's bad, he did an action that could be interpreted two ways. In that case, says the Rambam, judge him for good. Yeah? A guy on... Okay, I think the examples are obvious. אבל אם היה אדם ידוע שהוא צדיק, but let's say you have a person that everyone knows he's righteous, ומפורסם במעשה הטוב, and he's well known that he does good things, וראית לו מעשה, and you see him doing something שכל צדדיו מורים שהוא מעשה רע. Everything seems to point that what he did is bad. He has a reputation, everyone knows he's a good person, everyone knows he's a righteous person, and he did something that everything seems to indicate that he did something evil. ואי אפשר להכריע פה שהוא מעשה טוב, אלא בדוח הקדול, you have to go a long way in order to think that what he did was good, ובאפשרות רחוקה, it's pretty far out to say that what he did was good, הרי חובה לפרשו שהוא טוב. The Rambam says, being that this person is a person that we know is a good person, we're obligated to explain it that it's good. כיוון שיש שם צד אפשרות שהוא טוב, because there is a possibility it's good, ואסור לחשדו, and we're prohibited from suspecting him. ועל זה אומרים, and about this our sages said, כל החושד כשרים לוקה בגופו. Whoever suspects of those that are really kosher will be punished. God makes it that he gets hit in his body. He suffers physical afflictions. So our sages said, if you have a kasher, you have someone that you know is righteous. Now he did something that everything seems to point that it was bad, but there is a way of saying it was good. We have to say that it was good. We have to assume that that's exactly what happened. And you guys know the story in the Gemara, right? A guy worked for 7 years, and then 7 years he came to collect. And I said, I don't have money. He said, give me this form of wages. He said, I can't pay you with this, can't pay you with that. Everything he said, so pay me with the crowd, pay me with gold, pay me silver, pay me with this, pay me with that. Everything he said, I don't have. So he went home after 7 years of work with nothing. And our sages say, when he came and paid him, he said, what'd you think? He said, I thought, maybe your money you had just invested. Maybe your crops you had just sold. Maybe this. Everything was, and he said, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. I was just then out of money because all these circumstances happened and I couldn't pay. So that's when you have a good person. You have someone that you know is good. So then you have to think of the far out circumstance. And again, in marriage, this comes up all the time. You guys know the story I said about couple that the wife woke up the husband. You guys know the story? Okay, couple's newly married. A few months into the marriage, the husband comes to the wife and he says, look, I have an important exam tomorrow. I have to get to bed early. She says, yeah, and I have an important exam tomorrow. I have to stay up late to study. Go to sleep. Don't wait up for me. So he goes to sleep and I told this story, yeah. But I guess the other guys that weren't here. She comes. She's staying up working. She turns on the music blaring, and he wakes up, and he looks, and he can't believe it. Okay. So she turned on blaring music when he's sleeping. So he doesn't say anything. How's he supposed to swallow? He's like, what? Why'd she do that? So she sees. He gets up. Says, oh. The music woke you? I'm so sorry. She turns it down. He lies down. He goes to sleep. What's wrong with her? Doesn't know. Okay. It's okay. I don't know. Fine. He goes to sleep. Fine. A few weeks pass. Same thing happens again. He says, look, I got to get to bed at a decent hour. She says, yeah, I know. And I have a lot of work. Go to sleep. Don't wait up for me. He goes to sleep. An hour and a half passes. And she starts talking to her friends on the phone. She walks into the room. She's talking very loudly. She's yelling. She's laughing. He wakes up. Looks like he doesn't understand. She sees I'm sleeping here. I'm so sorry. Did I wake you? I'm so sorry. Go back to sleep. I'm sorry. She walks out of the room. Fine. Again, a few weeks later, he's going to sleep. And again, she has to stay up late. She's on the phone. She's talking to her friend. She turns on the music. And he wakes up. And this time, he says, okay, three times. What's going on here? So she turns to him and she sees that he woke up. And he says, I don't understand. You see, I'm sleeping here. You see, I'm sleeping here, right? What does it mean when you turn on the music? I'm sleeping here. How could you do that? She's hurt. She's offended. He says, what are you offended for? I don't understand. You just woke me up third time, middle of the night. Why are you offended? And she just starts crying and walks away. And he says, I don't understand. Why are you crying? You just woke me up. What's going on? To make a long story short, I'm skipping parts of the story. This were being on a bike class, we'd go to other parts of the story. But it isn't. So she came from a family where they had 12 kids and about 4 rooms. And
you
the little one.
The story when we asked you how your kids sleep in the night. And you told us this story.
So, okay. The little ones were asleep when the older ones came home. You can't run a house when everyone's running all around the house. I mean, so everyone got used to sleeping with noise because it's a small house and everyone's living together. You have 13, 14, 15 kids under one roof and it's one little house. So everyone slept with noise. So by her, it didn't dawn on her that if she turns on the music, it wakes him. He grew up an only child. They had a house with 5 different rooms. When he went to sleep, everyone was careful on that floor. They didn't make any noise. He grew up in a different world. When he looked at her, he couldn't understand her. Sometimes we have to go pretty far-fetched to think, wait a second, maybe she thought the music wouldn't wake me. But what do you mean? I come from a world where everyone knows that if you turn on music where someone's sleeping, it wakes you. Yeah, but maybe she comes from a different world. It's not so far-fetched. I mean, there was a guy who noticed that his wife keeps asking him to do things. Finally, they're sitting at the table, and she says, could you get up and get that salt? So she's sitting one step away from the salt, and he's sitting at the other end of the table. So he gets up and he gets her the salt. And he says, you know, why didn't you get the salt? I don't mind getting it, but this has been happening a lot. And he discovers that his wife has been suffering from tremendous pains, and ultimately turned out to be, I don't remember if that was serious, that wasn't serious. Bottom line, she could barely move, but she never wanted to tell him how much she was suffering, so she always made it sound like, oh, I'm okay, I'm just a little tired, could you get it for me? But when he said, wait a second, that's not just tired, if you're not getting up and getting the salt, so he discovered that his wife had serious pains, and she just didn't want to burden him with that. So you tell yourself, that's far-fetched. Yeah, that's what the Rambam's saying. If you have somebody, you know it's a good person, you know that it's a person that's does what's right and does what's good. So when you see something that looks obviously wrong and you have to go to great lengths to judge them favorably, so go those great lengths. You're obligated to go those great lengths. Our Mishnah that says judge favorably is talking about a situation where you don't know. You don't know the person, and the action can be judged either ways. And then the Mishnah says, okay, judge favorably. So too, if the person was a wicked person, he's famous that he's wicked. And we see him do something that every aspect seems that it's good. And there's a very far-fetched way of thinking that it's bad. We have to be careful from that person. And not to believe that he's really good. Because there's a potential that it's bad, and everything else he's done is bad, so be careful, don't assume that what he's doing now is good. Even if he has a voice that sounds like he's begging and everything's good, don't believe him, for you know that his heart is filled with disgusting things. But in a situation where you don't know, and it's equally balanced to be judged this way or that way, you don't know who the person is, then one is obligated in the ways of piety to judge him favorably. So the Rambam taught us here, A, one should always make himself a Rebbe. That's what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Prachya was saying. Even if one doesn't find a Rebbe that's on the level that he'd like, nonetheless, make yourself a Rebbe. Acquire a friend, even though it means that one has to give in and adapt himself to the friendship. But the Rambam says, acquire a friend. And the Rambam said there are different levels of friendship. But the greatest friendship, the greatest connection is when we're both aspiring for something good. And then we both want what's good for both of us. That type of friendship is the friendship that the Tana is saying, acquire it at all costs. Judge a person favorably. That's a person that we don't know where he is. We don't know him. And then, if he does something that can be judged either way, judge favorably. If he's a tzaddik, then even if it's far-fetched, we should judge him favorably. If he's a Rasha, and everyone knows that everything he does is evil, then even when he does something that's good, we should be careful and suspect that maybe there's something bad to it. But if he's someone that we don't know, if he's good or bad, and he did something that can be equally judged either way, then the pious thing to do is to judge him favorably.